We're now going to read from the Bible, and there should be a red Bible like this under the chair in front of you, and you may well find it helpful to look up the passage that's on the screen, John chapter 3, and that's on page 1066 of the Church Bibles. And Sunday by Sunday we've been thinking about encounters between people, individuals who met Jesus and who spoke with him. I'm trying to connect what that might mean for us, or the people around us in Scotland today, to encounter Jesus for themselves. In the last few weeks, we've been homing in on one conversation that took place by night between Jesus and a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus was someone who was respected as a teacher, someone who was regarded by others as someone who having things sussed out, knowledge, understanding. And yet he came to Jesus with some questions of his own. And they've had this fascinating conversation. And last week, I suppose at the midpoint in their conversation, Jesus uttered words that are very well known. The words we find in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And in our reading this morning, we carry on to see how the conversation ends up. So this is Jesus continuing to speak, as we read from verse 17. Jesus says to Nicodemus, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Let me pray once more, just as we come to think about these words. God our Father, as we've thought about this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, we've seen how Jesus unsettled Nicodemus and pushed him to think in new ways. And we dare to ask that you might do the same for us this morning, that you might show us things that we've not seen before, that you might refresh our answers to old questions, that you would be our teacher. And we ask also that you would be with our groups of children and young people, that they would feel welcome here, that they would be encouraged and excited as they think about the Christmas story together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This darkness. It's not nice to feel trapped. And I've got a very vivid childhood memory, one of those memories where I can still kind of feel in my guts how I felt as it happened the first time around. I was on holiday, just as a young child, and sent off to bed at whatever time bedtime was. I don't suppose it was very late. And I fell fast asleep. And sometime after that, I found myself awake and in complete and utter darkness. And I wasn't a child who was usually afraid of the dark, but this darkness was completely oppressive. I could see nothing. I was lying down, and as I tried to move or get up, I found I couldn't. I felt immediately above my face something hard and solid and impenetrable and completely black. Now, thinking about it now, it's kind of like waking up inside a coffin. But my young mind did not make that morbid connection. And so I shouted, and I can't remember what I shouted, but I shouted, and suddenly I wasn't alone. I was aware of my older sister, and then my parents coming in, and suddenly the light was on. And instead of darkness, there was light. And I had a kind of blinking into life and a realization of what had happened. So here in this unfamiliar bed on holiday, I had rolled right off my bed in my sleep and then rolled under my bed in my sleep and woken up. And so there was an experience of relief and my heartbeat returning to normal. But I can still remember just that sense of completely hemmed in. But of course, there is more than one kind of darkness. The songwriter Will Oldham, who has the stage name Bonnie Prince Billy, has a song called I See a Darkness that was later covered by Johnny Cash. And in the song, if you listen to the lyrics, it's got the atmosphere of a kind of quiet confession, conversation between close friends who are prepared to be honest and real with one another. So you almost have the sense of them perhaps leaning across the table in a bar. And these are the words of the opening verse. It says, well, you're my friend, and I can see, and you can see, and can you see, sorry. Well, you're my friend, and can you see? Many times we've been out drinking, many times we've shared our thoughts, but did you ever notice the kind of thoughts I got? And so there they are, confiding, sharing their thoughts, and then the next verse, the speaker talks about the conflict they know in themselves, the things that they love, the things they long for. And yet they also have the experience of something else, something dark and difficult. And so they say to their friend, can you see this opposition that comes rising up sometimes? And then without waiting for an answer, the chorus chimes in that kind of supplements that question, saying, can you see, well, the chorus says, and that I see a darkness. Just this simple, sad repetition. And then the repetition breaks off, and then the next words sound almost like a cry for help, or perhaps even a prayer. As they say to their friend, did you know how much I love you? Is a hope that somehow you can save me from this darkness. So we have this song that is, on one level, a song about friendship, and it's a song about a deep experience of despair, and as the subsequent verses reveal, perhaps guilt and regret about being unable to see through or beyond a darkness that hems in on them, and yet they have this fragile hope, this plea for something better. But there's no expectation that someone's going to walk in and switch on the light and make it all okay. And then in the Bible, as we turn to the Old Testament, in the story of God's people, we find the prophet Isaiah. And he was charged of speaking to God's people on behalf of God at a time of, well, sort of multi-layers disaster. An experience of loss or impending loss and failure, a time of fear. And he uses the image of darkness to describe that experience. So not just a personal experience, but the experience of a whole people. They walk, they sit in darkness. Darkness envelops them at a time when they were just conscious of threats on all sides and internal failure. And no regard for what God might say or do. And so Isaiah has to call that out. He names the darkness, and then he's also given something else to say. Words of promise that are described in terms of the dawning of a new day, of a light that invades the darkness, or a light that might lead them out of the place, the dark place in which they've found themselves. So just take a selection of verses in Isaiah 9. It's a very familiar verse at this time of year. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That's Isaiah 9, verse 2. And then Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison and release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. And then Isaiah 60 from verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And all of those passages from Isaiah are often read at this time of year, as people count down, as they journey through Advent, as they try and hold that tension between what we see and know right now, and what God has promised, and God has said, and God has demonstrated he will do about it, bringing light in the darkest places. And as we come to John's Gospel, this announcement of good news about a person, about the person of Jesus Christ, we keep finding the same imagery. Either as the narrator speaks about Jesus, or even as Jesus speaks with his own words, the words on Jesus' lips. And again, just to take a selection of verses, John chapter 1, verse 9, we're told the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Or John 8, verse 12. This is Jesus speaking to the people around him who are watching intently. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Or in John 12, verse 46, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And so the composite picture is that the starting point is to be in the darkness, with all that goes with it, that sense of not knowing where we are, being disempowered, disorientated. But then something happening, the sudden arrival, emergence, even invasion of light. And then we come to our passage in John chapter 3, where Nicodemus had sought Jesus out in the darkness of night. And of course, as we saw last week, as we read again, Jesus says to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And we have to understand that what this is saying is telling us that God loves a world that is unseeing and unknowing, a world that finds itself in the darkness. And the love that is spoken of is not simply a sense in which an affirmation that God sees a loveliness in the world. Instead, it is that love is really a posture. It's God actively saying, I will do for this world what is needed to bring light and life. And the consequence of that love is that God gives his one and only Son. That Son who says, I am the light of the world, the true light that gives life, a light that changes the situation, a light that opens new possibilities, that breaks the deadlock, that leads into life and freedom and fullness. It's good news. Then it makes it perhaps difficult to read or make sense of what we then read in verse 19. As Jesus says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Well, why this love? God loves the world, but people love darkness instead of light. It goes against our instinct. The child, terrified under the bed, is relieved, is delighted when the light comes on. The despairing person who finds themselves alone welcomes the friendship that will sit with them and listen and offer any sort of hope. And yet we're told people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And there seems to be something, however we unpack those words, there's something painful there. There's almost a doubling down. And I think of just the other week sitting with one of my boys who was, he was crying because his throat was so sore. And I was trying to give him Calpol because his throat was sore. But he didn't want to take the Calpol because his throat was sore. There was a sort of doubling down, stuck. And Jesus speaks almost of a recoil from the light. A turning further in on ourselves. A determination to hold on to what we'd be better to be rid of. And getting rid of what we'd be better to keep hold of. And of course that plays out in John's Gospel, in the life of Jesus, as we see him resented even as he comes close to people and helps them and heals them. We see Jesus ignored even as he answers questions and speaks truth. And we see him ultimately hated and rejected, even as he, in his actions and his words, he demonstrates the love of God, that same love that is spoken of in John 3:16. And it is the same world that turns in on itself that God loves. A world that does not immediately reciprocate. The world that prefers the darkness, that prefers the absence of God and the light that might be brought. That loves the person that when the light comes in, shuts in even more tightly. And that's why we need to hold on to verse 17. Perhaps as much as verse 16 that comes before it. You know, we can convince ourselves that God, like the spurned cowpole, is the problem, the disease, not the cure. But Jesus puts it as clear as he can, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And God's love is not conditioned by our response to it. In fact, Jesus had already told Nicodemus that in a sense, even our response depends upon God bringing new life, new birth through the Spirit. He tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And the light that Jesus brings does ultimately help us to see everything, whether it's God, whether it's ourselves, whether it's other people, or the way ahead more clearly. But Jesus knows that our first response to that light can be to screw up our eyes, or like someone who is despairing the start of a new day, burrowing under their duvet, or someone who is caught suddenly triggering a security light, uncomfortable to know that they might have seen. Often that is our first response. But the light that Jesus speaks of is not in the end an assault or an accusing glare. It is the light that we need. The light comes to us in a person who comes alongside and can show us a way out or the way ahead. Now, all the things that we associate with darkness come with an undercurrent of loneliness, whether it's fear or guilt or despair, or the illusion of being unaccountable. All those things are isolating. All of them can be overwhelming. But we have in Jesus good news. John 1 verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The advent of Jesus is like a new dawn. And it's a new dawn that comes after a long and difficult night. And what he comes to do is to bring light and life, to bring a way out of the darkness, to see what we couldn't see, to help us to see the reality of our starting point, which may well have that sense of being stuck. with no way out, of being alone in an oppressive darkness. But God does not leave us alone. God has not left us alone. Jesus wants to say to Nicodemus and to us, he says, God in love has given his one and only Son to be a light in the darkness. And not simply to join us in solidarity in that darkness, but to lead us out into light with all that we associate with that: possibility, truth, freedom, and hope. And this is the good news that we have. This is why we can sing in Advent and in Christmas songs like Joy to the World that we'll sing in a few moments. As we think about these things, let me read to you Psalm 130. We read just some verses from this psalm at the beginning of our service. Listen to these words. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in this word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Let me pray. God our Father, you are aware of how we feel and the things that we think about, the things that trouble us. You're aware of the things we simply cannot see. And sometimes we cry out without knowing who will hear our cry, or doubting if anyone can or will. But we thank you for the promise of the gospel, that you have given your one and only Son to come into the midst of the darkness and the confusion, and not being overwhelmed even by our rejection and our turning away, but loving us completely and unfailingly. And although sometimes we wait and the wait feels interminable, you give us the grounds of a hope of something better in and through the one who said, I am the light of the world. The one who promised that as we trust in him, we need no longer walk in darkness. We ask you to help us to see and understand these things more than we understand them now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.